You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Another company that gave us results today for their financial year was Aspen, the pharmaceutical company. They gave us their full year's results for the year ended 30 June 2024. I'm joined on the line by Aspen's Chief Financial Officer, Sean Capozzario, to take a look at the numbers and try and make sense of it. Good evening, Sean. Thanks so much for taking the time. Lovely to speak to you again.
Good results.
Very interesting numbers to look at. Let's start with some of the strategic highlights and milestones that the business went through and just your reflections around that.
Yeah, I think we've been building this business over the last 2 years, and it was very exciting that we delivered our highest normalized EBITDA in the second half, growing 17% over the first half. So we're really proud of that. We're setting a good foundation for the growth plan that we've set ourselves going forward. And then, I mean, coupled to that, we've had cash, very robust cash generation in this period, and achieving a cash ratio over 100%, and the other big event was having to absorb the volume-based procurement impact in China and coming up with a strategy where we can de-risk ourselves going forward. And we've done the deal with Sandoz buying their business in China, which has already gone through VBP, so we've got a business now that's coming off a low base and a good team to support those products going forward. And then I think overall, on our sterile side, we've met our guidance for the year. We said we were going to deliver a contribution of 500 million rand, which is about 350 million rand of EBITDA, and so that we also exceeded. So I think overall, good objectives achieved. And then the very exciting one is the we've been able to get an opportunity to partner with a licensor, both from a manufacturing and a pharmaceutical perspective, in the rapidly growing GLP-1 markets. So those are probably the key highlights that we wanted to bring to the attention of the market. So very excited and very happy.
Sean, let's zoom in on the international operations with China in particular, as well as Russia. Both those countries, both those regions, costing you north of 2 billion rand in sales that you lost as a result of that. Take me through the challenges with China. Take me through that volume-based procurement program and just what it meant for the business having to adapt to that and the impact it's had on the business's numbers.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'll quickly start with Russia because that's a quick one. Russia, it has been on the decline for the last 2 years since the war in Russia, where they've diverted funding away from healthcare to fund the war. So I think we have seen a steady decline, and I think the previous year was the last big half. So you'll find in half two we didn't get impacted by Russia. So Russia's pretty much behind us now. It's quite a small part of our business going forward. On China, VBP, you can sort of compare it to patent expiry. So in the Western markets, when a product gets to the end of its patent, the generics come in, and you see a big drop in pricing as the generic competition. And in China, they generally don't switch to the generics. They prefer the branded product. So the only mechanism that can be used in China is the government. Once there's local players that can, at least three local players that can make the product in China, they then put it out to tender. And then, if you participate in those tenders, you'd be making no money. So we don't participate in those tenders. So what happens is you lose that volume, not all the volume, but you lose the volume that's part of those tenders, and you have to take some price cuts. So that's a one-off event. And I think all of our products have now gone through that VBP process. So going forward now, we're starting with a base business, and then on top of that, we've got the new Sandoz business, which has also gone through VBP. So we're able to now start growing that business, which is the normal Aspen model, where we grow products post-patent with strong sales and marketing support. So I think we're quite excited about future growth prospects in China, but we have had to take this impact, which we did guide the market. It unfortunately was a little bit bigger than we thought. So that was a bit of a surprise for us. But other than that, I think our strategy is sound going forward.
Mm. Sean, second half of the year was certainly stronger than the first half of the year. And you said, obviously, the first half of the year was impacted by some of those one-off events. How is the business gearing up to maintain that momentum from a strategy point of view, understanding that, obviously, some of these things are beyond your control?
Yeah, so I think the second half was definitely boosted by... you know, the acquisitions that we've made in the commercial business in Latin America and in South Africa. We had the Eli Lilly business coming in from January. So those were all boosted in this half. So that momentum will carry on into the next half. And then the other big boost was, you know, starting to execute on our sterile contracts, you know, in our manufacturing facilities. And that came through in the second half, which we did guide the market as well. So those were the big drivers of the strong second half growth. And we do see that building momentum now and setting a platform for us for the growth for the next year.
Sean, let's look at the CapEx. The business obviously spent quite a bit on the manufacturing portfolio, increasing manufacturing capacity. And as a result, I mean, if we look at just the overall numbers as well, headline earnings per share was a lot lower and the decision to then pay dividend came out of income reserves. Take me through where the business is positioning itself right now. I mean, you're a leader in the pharmaceutical space. You're also now looking to be a leader in the manufacturing space globally. Take me through just some of these decisions and how the management team is seeing the market.
Yeah, so I think from our perspective, we've got two distinct businesses. We've got business segments. We've got our commercial pharma market, and I think there our strategy is to continue growing in emerging markets. So we've invested in China, we've invested in South Africa, we've invested in Latin America, and we over time, Jimmy, we've put a lot of investment into all of those territories. So we've got all the infrastructure in those markets. And so the strategy really is to grow organically and then to attract opportunities from global pharma where they're looking to divest of some of their non-core products. And we've seen that being done very successfully in our South African business where we've taken over the Amgen and the Lilly products from the RP owners. So that's the strategy on commercial pharma, strong organic growth with acquisitive growth, with a big emerging market focus. And then on the manufacturing side, it's the investment we've made in our sterile manufacturing. And we do see that being quite a strong growth driver over the next couple of years, you know, as we start filling that capacity up. And then on top of that, we've got this new opportunity into the what they call the GLP-1 space, which is the diabetic and insulin and the obesity market. And that should start bearing benefits from FY26, FY27 onwards. So I think the strategy is sound. We've got a good platform for commercial pharma. We're strong in emerging markets. I think more than 65% of our turnover now is emerging market facing. And we're starting to harvest our investment in our sterile facilities, both in France and in Quebec, South Africa.
Sean, do you think the market expected stronger numbers coming out from today's results presentation? I mean, I'm looking at the markets and the trading community hasn't been kind. Share price coming off 12% in today's trading day.
Yeah, look, you can never know what the market is going to do on the day. And so, and we never look at it only on one day. But I think we did come in slightly below our guided EBITDA number. I think we guided mid-single-digit growth for EBITDA, and we came in at only 1%. So there's I think it's probably, call it $300 million of EBITDA that we've missed by. And that was impacted by the China VBP. But other than that, I think, you know, we're comfortable that the rest of the guidance is in line with what we previously guided. And hopefully the market will once they understand all the moving parts and see what we've got as a platform for future growth, I think hopefully we'll take a different view. But yeah, you can never judge on the day.
Never judge on the day, and there's certainly a lot more to look forward to from the business. We'll certainly keep in touch and keep an eye on what the developments look like. All the best to you and the team for the new year. We look forward to catching up as the year unfolds. That was Sean Capozzario, who is Group Chief Financial Officer at Aspen Pharmacare Holdings, joining me to reflect on their full year's numbers as well as how the business is positioning itself going forward.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.